Does it seem like it's more, or does it seem like, and how do you determine whether it's a trial or the devil's acting up?
All right. That's your pre-sermon sermon on temptations and trials. Now getting here to Matthew, I'm looking right at the word. Matthew chapter number 8. At this recording, y'all forgive me. Matthew chapter number 8, we're almost through this chapter, so we'll finish this chapter then tonight. In verses 1 through 4, I'll review really quickly. Verses 1 through 4, it talked about the homage of the leper, the homage of the leper. He was worshiping, he paid homage to the Lord Jesus. Then in verses 1 through 4, then number 2, we saw the humble centurion. He had humbled himself down, came, man under authority, but he was willing to submit even to the Lord's authority and said he is not worthy that Jesus could come. We saw and that was in verses 5 through 13. Then we saw the healed mother-in-law in verses 14 and 15. Peter is married. The apostle Peter's married. And he has a mother-in-law in verses 14 and 15. And Jesus raised her up. Then in verses 16 and 17, we saw the hurling out of the devils, the casting and the curing. Jesus himself begins to cast out and cure people in verses 16 and 17 that are possessed with devils. And then in verses 18 through 22, we see lacking laborers. And we dealt with that last week in verses 18 through 22, and that we are lacking laborers. And in Matthew chapter number 9, we flipped over and looked in verse numbers 37, and it goes along with Luke 10:2 with the Lord's prayer request. And I hope that whatever else you got in your prayer journal, that you have those verses in there. And if not, put one of them in there. Put one or both of them in there. Matthew 9:37 and Luke 10:2 or Luke 10:2. Write one of those verses and pray for laborers. Like I said, I know that I am where I am today for people that prayed for me. And my prayer has always been for some laborers, somebody that would be raised up in this town or from this church, raised up to take this church eventually, has always been my prayer. I pray that some man, family that would get saved or was saved when we got here would be raised up, learn underneath of my ministry, and eventually take over this church is my prayer. And I hope that God would do it for every church, because Brother Matthews, it's coming Sunday to preach missions conference. That really was, and it's not being mean to the other churches. But we're still lacking to see what's going to happen up here in Hayes. It's still hanging on, still doing, but by far that one, I feel like, looking at the five churches, the one there in Lindsborg has been the most successful just because of the fact that Brother Matthews was from there. The one in Larned is doing decent now, but I talked to Brother Josh, and he said, they're going through the same thing. I was, talking to him a few weeks ago when I was telling him about Crystal, and he said, Brother, we had had a good crowd for Thanksgiving, and then everybody got sick, and it was him and his wife, Miss Coon, Mr. Miss Coon, and Brother Larry, Miss Jerry. So don't get discouraged. They go through the same thing that we go through. And we all go through that, but we all be praying for laborers. Now, in verses 23 through 27, we have saw now the lacking of the laborers. Now we're seeing the doubting disciples. Verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But, Brother Joe's favorite shirt, he was asleep. Jesus is down and asleep. And I like, it's hard, there's a song that, Michael... It's gonna haunt me. It's right on the tip of my tongue too. No. It's I'll think of it afterwards. Anyway, they sing that song, Awaken the Master. Oh goodness. Your cries have awoken the Master.
The Isaac?
No.
The No, it's Mike and Bowen. Michael, Mike and his wife Bowen. I forget what her name is. Now, I'm sure others have, but the one on my Pandora that pops up is him and his wife, Michael Bowen, and I think it's his wife. But I think that's who it is. Anyway, they sing that song, that cry. And part of me is like, I like the song. I understand it's biblical, but at the same time, it also makes it sound like God's asleep. But God was asleep. So it's like, oh, you know. But he does this to try to build their faith up and get them to remain. Again, what we're just talking about with going through trials. Remember what it is? Romans 5 says? Romans 5 says, if I get over here, did I read it correctly? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What did that say? Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hey, look, when you read that verse, think of the disciples. Don't get discouraged. Listen, y'all, don't get discouraged when you kind of get ashamed of the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And when Jesus was dying, who was there when he died? John, that's it. They walked with him in and out. He told them to their faces this was going to happen. They went through the tribulations. And it was supposed to build their patience experience and their spirit's hope. But yet, after the storm, watching Jesus calm the storm, after watching him feed thousands, casting out devils, healing the lame, raising the dead, only one stood there by him when he died. So don't get discouraged if you make a mistake. Now, there's some of them that can be life-altering. But if you mess up in a trial and it's not life-altering, praise God for that and learn from that mistake, because the next one could be life-altering. There are people that make the mistake. Marriage is honorable and all, to be undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It does. That's why we try to teach y'all, you know, not to get involved with your flesh with somebody of the opposite sex, because look at what's going on all around you with these public school kids with the boyfriend and girlfriend thing and all this other junk. And by the time they get married, their marriages don't last. Why? Well, because when I got tired of her, I just dumped her and dated Sally over here. When I got tired of Sally, I dated this one over here, Cindy. And then when I got tired of Cindy, then I dated Sarah. And then when I got tired of Sarah, I dated Amy. And then that's why their marriages don't work. Because they jump from place to place, and it's all about their flesh. It's about satisfying them. And they'll get to the point, well, I don't love him anymore. You don't understand what real love is. Real love is to give up yourself for the other person. You don't fall out of love, you fall out of lust. So, but that listen, the storms of life will come up just like with these disciples. Don't be like them. His disciples, he's asleep. Verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, Why are you fearful? I know all of us would have walked down there and tapped Jesus on the shoulder. Jesus. Just so you know, we're not fearful. But just, you know, the waves are getting a little high up at the top. And, you know, it's just anything you can do to make things, you know, just kind of calm down. But if not, it's okay, because we're not scared. No, we all be going, Jesus, wake up! Just like the disciples. I imagine, brother, he's like, why are you so fearful? I bet you ever looked at somebody that got terror in their eyes? That's probably, now Jesus knows their heart, with the look they had. You know, if you ever see somebody almost get hit by a car, or, you know, something happened, anything in life, and they get that fearful look, that's probably what they had. And they come to Jesus and they're scared out of their minds because the waves are crashing over and the ship's filling up with water. And Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith." All they said was, "Lord, save us. We perish." But they're so scared to death. At this point, it's early on in his ministry. But he just got done what? Healing the healing the leper, the humble centurion whose servant was healed. They watched him heal Peter's mother-in-law. They saw him casting out devils. You could go up. He gave them the Sermon on the Mount. And yet they're scared. So listen, I'm just warning you. Things are going to happen in your life. I remember at one point, and listen, this is why we Bridget's like, "Hey, you always told me about money." Listen, we have never been good with money. I know the numbers, but it's like Dave Ramsey said, it's like 20%, 20% numbers or head knowledge, 80% habit. And I remember one time we had been fighting because we were not good with money. We made good money, but we've been fighting with money. We didn't have no money. It's amazing. Fight about the thing you don't have, but somehow you do. And I can still remember we were looking for some money because we didn't have any because we were broke. This early on in our marriage. And we were looking through bags of receipts to try to find some money to pay bill or buy some food. I don't remember what it was. Now, and we actually did find, I remember it was at least a $10 bill in there. And yet, here we are, 15, 17 years later, we're still. That's why we're trying to pass on this, you know, hey, don't get into the same habits that we did. You know, why are you so fearful? We were fearful. We was not living right, trusting Him. We wasn't doing right. And instead of just being calm and going to God and say, "Lord, you know, maybe I should have done this over all of our children. Maybe we should just pray to everyone. Lord, please give every one of them enough wisdom to be good with money. Give enough wisdom to understand the importance of saving money." But we didn't. But these doubting disciples, they'd seen all these things now and seen God come through before, and yet here they were. "They're fearful, O ye of little faith." He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. By the way, this is not the only time they're going to go through this, and guess what? All the other times, they're the same fearful way. Be calm. That's why I told you to highlight, line out that 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember that verse. But the men marveled, say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That's what they said. What manner of man? Wait a minute. This is the same man that just did all these things I just talked about. And yet they're going, what manner of man is this? Last of all now, the deliverance of the demonic. And I had preached about this, not really preached about this one, but we did talk about it a little bit Sunday as I gave my personal testimony, and still praying for some after 25 years. There's still people that I'm praying for after 25 years. Verse 28-34, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two." Now I understand that the other two disciples say there's only one. There's not necessarily a contradiction here. It's just that those two, when they heard the story, or they were told it was just one. It was their, again, if eyewitness testimony lined up 100%, we know that that's a problem. Doesn't mean there's a contradiction. Have you ever You ever seen somebody in a car? You ever looked over and said, man, there's three people in a car, and somebody else goes, no, there wasn't. There was only two in there. It's the same thing. You look on a, you know, you look at a store window, there's two people standing there. I saw five people standing there. You can't count very much, can you? Does that mean their eyewitness is wrong and yours is right? No, it's what they saw versus what you saw. So keep that in mind. Don't get discouraged. Because the other one, because there's two things there, so that you don't get discouraged when you read the Bible. There's another one. Does anybody else know whether there's one records it and one, not this story, but another story where there's two, and in the other Gospels it says one? Anybody want to guess what it is? There's something that happens in one, it involves Peter, and in one Gospel it's twice, and in the other Gospels it's once. What is it? What is it?
When he denies
him? Well, yeah, but what is it with it?
How many times he did it? When the cock
crows. Thank you. When the cock crows. In one gospel, one of them says, when the cock crowed twice, and the others, again, I don't remember which one. There may be two that say two, and one that says one. I don't remember what the combination is, but I know it's... One he curses him before the final cock crow. He curses him once or twice, the cock crows, and then he curses him the third time, the cock crows again. Does that mean the witnesses is wrong? No, it just means, again, that that's what they heard. That witness heard before the cock crowed, the other one heard before the cock crowed twice, and the one heard. It's not a contradiction. If you've ever, you know, if you ever go to court, if you ever go to if you ever see an accident. Matter of fact, I tell you this, I saw this years ago. I think it was me and her watching something on stuff like this. A professor hired somebody to come into class. Or not hired, but had a young man. He's standing up there teaching. You know how college classrooms are. The teacher's up there teaching, and you know, he's got his desk right there. And a man in a hat, I think it was, slowly walks down, grabs something off the desk, and goes out the other way. While the teacher's like this, and all the students go, hey, 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 and the teacher, you know, purposely waits, and then turns around. And goes, what's happened? What happened? And they're, you know, so all of them start telling. Well, some people said he had a blue shirt, some people said he had an orange shirt. Some said he didn't have a hat, some said he didn't have a hat. Who was right? Who's wrong? It just shows you that, you know, people see things differently. I told Bri and O and Crystal, when I was down there building ride-alongs in Dodge this last time for my A, they said there was a lady that was a basic that would go into great detail, so much so they had to tell her stop, because her reports would be like a story. She would give the color of the carpet, the color of the walls. I mean, and that's what she saw. I called the brother of the one that just passed away, because of the recording, I'm not going to say names. The brother of the one that just passed away, that's one of our... And immediately, one of his questions was the TV on? That way he knew, you know, had he got up that morning and watched TV? And I said, there was a TV in the room? And he said, yeah, it's across the room. I said, never even saw a TV. Because in that heat of the moment, that's all I saw was him and his body, because I knew the man. I could tell you exactly how he was sitting, the blanket that he was covered up in, but I could not tell you that there was a TV in that same room. Now, Bree, I don't know if she could at that point or not. Now she probably can't because I said it, but as you interviewed Bree, Bree probably would say, oh yeah, that was a TV in there, and it was off, and then, you know, she maybe saw he had a cup of coffee or something, you know. Why? Because did that make me, if I said there was no TV and there was a TV, does that make me a liar? No, it means you were mistaken or you did not see that. You didn't see. And so that's things to remember, because here, again, I took too long and I'm sorry, but here Matthew records it as two. The other two Gospels recorded as one. It's not a contradiction.
Is there at least one? Yeah. Did it happen? Yes. Just happens that there's two of them. And Matthew gives us both of them. When they come to the country, the Gadarenes there met him too, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So the other ones give us a little bit, you know, tells us about them breaking the feathers and no man could bind them. But Matthew tells us, you know, these angry spirits. This is why it's important. That's one of the things, those messages I've, you know, with that S.M. Davis, Bill Davis, has really helped me, is understanding that anger is not a good thing. I know the Bible says be angry and sin not. And I believe that has to deal with the church. When Jesus, the times that Jesus gets angry, is dealing with the church and things going on in the church. Now, God can handle anger and does in His right sense, but we cannot. With us, with anger, we get out of men, especially men, we get out of control. He gives several examples. And like I said, I don't know if you get a chance to listen to him in some of those sermons. He deals with anger. He deals with several men that just absolutely, and when they get angry, especially men, they lose control. And do you remember he said there was one man that had beat his child, slammed his head into a doorknob, and I can't remember what all he said, and then just threw the child on the ground and walked off all like calm like. And he's, because he's dealing with anger, he's talking about how, you know, men have that trouble. Well, here, listen, I'm not saying that everybody, I'm not saying that, and he said that. He's not saying that every man that's anger is dealing with, you know, demons necessarily, but it is something that we cannot really control. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. And again, you know, if you get angry about something, I think that deals with, hey, take your time. If you especially listen when you children and you know, we've tried to do right. That's one thing that we try to do, and sometimes we get upset. But, you know, when dealing with children and discipline, never hit your children, discipline your children in anger. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be calm. Why? Because it's not going to, all they're going to do is get mad. All they're going to do is get rebellious. And again, don't discipline children for accidents. You discipline them for rebellion. And so those are things important. All right. The city fears so that no man might pass by. Verse 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Meaning the time that they're going to be permanently put into hell in the lake of fire eventually. And there was a good way off from them. I heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. Behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And then we know after what I said Sunday, if you go into the book of Luke, and I've forgotten now what chapter it was, but Luke, when Luke gives this description of this, if you go to verse, I think it's verse 40 or 41, it tells us that man, these men go back and they're able to win the people of that town so that when Jesus comes back, he is greatly welcomed. And so listen, we ought to be praying for the one that came here just, you know, month or so ago. We need to be praying for him. We'd be praying for others. There are people in this town, in this county, that if they would get saved, it shocks the people. Why? Because when people get saved, there's a difference. We know the story in the book of Mark and the book of Luke, where there's a little bit more detail given in their stories that those men or that man, probably both of them, were seated at Jesus' feet in their right mind, clothed. We know that they were naked in the other stories and all those other things. And so listen, Jesus is able to deliver the demonic. Even in 2025, he is able to deliver those that nobody else cares about. Nobody else thinks cares. Any hope. All hope is lost for them. God is able to deliver. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've made. Lord, I do pray for my children. I pray for this work, that your will would be done, Lord, that we would, in the trials of life, put you first and trust you. Lord, now be with us now as we go out. And we thank you for the day that you made and the Word of God that we can learn from. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.